Today, let's discover why Christmas peace is not something we create, but someone we receive. Isn't Christmas a wonderful time of the year? Yeah, how many of you enjoy Christmas? I really love Christmas. Someone once said that a man goes through three stages in life. Stage one, he believes in Santa Claus. Stage two, he stopped believing in Santa Claus. And stage three, he becomes Santa Claus. Isn't it? Yeah, we all love, but Christmas is not about Santa Claus. And there is a deeper truth about Christmas. And for many people out there, you know, Christmas are about the external things, the gifts, the decors, the atmosphere. But Christmas was never just meant to be cheerful. It was meant to bring peace. So this morning, I have a message for all of us about the peace on earth that we can receive. And sometime to understand what Christmas peace really is, we need to see in a different backdrop. So let me bring you to a moment in history. This year was 1914. It was called the Great War. But there was nothing great about this war. For months, young men living in frozen, muddy battlefields across Europe. Every minute of their life was spent dodging bullets, bombs, and grenades. Barbed wire held them in. And on another side, one side of the field, we have the German soldiers were dug into their trenches. On the other side were the British and the French soldier waiting in their trenches. And between them lay a stretch of no man's land, because if you get onto this part of the land, you'll be killed. But then something unexpected happened. It was the morning of December 25th. The morning of December 25th, from the German trenches came the sound of a song. The British and the French soldier didn't understand the German words, but they soon recognized the tune. And slowly, in the middle of this war, men began to climb out of their trenches. In English, in French, in German, they began to sing together. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. They walk into the no man's land, the very place where many of their friends die. They shook hands. They exchanged small gifts and they wish each other Merry Christmas. Then something amazing happened. Someone kicked an old soccer ball onto the field and they began, you know, the place, this no man's land was once symbolized death, became a soccer field. Men who were trained to hate each other began to play soccer on Christmas Day. Isn't that wonderful? What happened? Let me tell you what happened. Christmas peace broke into the middle of war. You see, Christmas has always been about peace. And deep down, we all hunger for peace. We all want peace. Every one of us. Because we live in a world filled with anxiety. The world around us feel anything but peaceful. Wars and conflicts dominate our headlines. Ukraine, Russia, Israel, Gaza, Iran, nation in turmoil. And just last week in our region, we heard that the Thai and the Cambodians broke peace again. You know, these crashes were the result of disagreements that stretches more than a century. But closer to home, in our community, in all our homes, some of us are facing storms that are no less real. Marriage under strain. Family no longer speaking. Financial pressure. In our workplace, we have workplace stress. Some of us receive a frightening medical report, a bad report. And all of this also adds to our fear about the future, unresolved conflict, unforgiveness towards each other, and the constant exposure to a broken world marked by loss, injustice, and uncertainty. It's no wonder our inner rest is so easily disturbed. We cannot sleep, and when we rest, when we close our eyes, when we rest, the stress, the pressure is in the mind, and we can't sleep. We're imprisoned by all this worries, anxiety. We all hunger for this deep peace. And when we think of Christmas, we think of Christmas as very calm, gentle music, warm lights, and peaceful scene, right? Yet, when we really look into the story of Christmas, we discover that the first Christmas Eve was far from peaceful. Let's turn to the scripture. In Luke chapter 1, verse 1, we see that in those days, Caesar Augustine issued a decree that a census shall be taken of the entire Roman world. This was what happened. This wasn't a friendly survey. It was a command from the most powerful empire on earth. At the time, Judea was under Roman occupation. The Jewish people lived under foreign rule, heavily taxed, politically controlled, and culturally pressured. So Roman soldiers were everywhere, and the Roman laws governed daily life. And when Caesar ordered a censor, it wasn't optional. It wasn't optional. It means, you know, it would be a disruption to the people. It means inconvenient. It means fear. Because when a census is being collected, often it will lead to a higher taxes and tighter control. So this is the world Jesus was born into. Not a peaceful one, but a pressure one. And this decree forced Mary and Joseph to travel. And we read, continue from Luke chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to marry to him and was expecting a child. Picture and visualize this scene together with me, church. A long journey, rough roads, no buses. No, they cannot call a Grab, by the way. No cars, no medical care. Mary is heavily pregnant, exhausted, uncomfortable, and vulnerable. And beyond the physical strain that Mary experienced, there was even a heavier emotional weight. You see, Mary was betrothed, not yet fully married. In that culture, if you are pregnant at this stage, you will invite shame, suspicious, and even scandal. Gossip linger wherever they go. It was not a joyful journey, by the way. It was very stressful. Are you listening? So in Luke, as we continue the story, you hear that while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. We just found out that no room, no bed, no privacy, no comfort available. The Son of God entered the world in overcrowding, inconvenience, and rejection. And if this were a peaceful night, it certainly doesn't look like one. Then Luke shifts the scene to the nearby fields. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks. At night, what happened? An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. You see, shepherds were not respected people. They were considered uneducated, often overlooked. Suddenly, at that night, in the darkness, an angel appeared before them. A holy interruption that shook them with fear and in awe. Why? Because they have never seen fireworks before. They have never seen light in the sky. So now in heaven, now heaven breaks into the darkness. What happened? Fear fills the air. So the first Christmas was not calm. It was chaotic. And yet, this is exactly where God chose to step in. We read Luke chapter 2, verse 10 to 14. And the angel said to them, do not be, come on, help me out. Do not be, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appear with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. Peace to those on whom His favor rests. Amen. Amen. That was the great news, a good news. It was the first Christmas greeting. The announcement of the long-awaited Messiah wrapped in a message of peace. And that's the peace we're going to talk about this morning. It's not a feeling that fades, not a moment that passes, but true peace that we can have. So, let's talk about the peace. How does this peace look like? I want to share with you three things about this peace. The first thing about this peace is that the peace is peace with God. Turn to your neighbor and say, peace with God. You see, peace begins with a peacemaker. Christmas wasn't just an announcement of peace. Jesus didn't come merely to talk about peace. Jesus came to make peace. Are you listening? You know, I believe that all will agree, every one of you who's seated in this hall right now, this morning, will agree that there are problems in this world, right? Conflicts, problems, everywhere. Wherever you look, personally, socially, globally, there are problems at every level. And no doubt, many people are trying their best to solve this problem, to help. Many are working hard to relieve the pain, working really hard. But the bigger question is this, this morning, the bigger question is this, what is causing the symptoms? What is causing the symptoms? Because if we only treat the symptoms will always come back. But if we deal with the root cause, if we begin to address the problem at its core, then we will have the solution. So here's the question we must ask this morning. What is the root cause of everything that is wrong in the world today? What do you all think? Let me tell you that the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. Let me say that again. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. There was a mother who was a bit busy one day. And she said to her husband, darling, can you take care of Annie for a while? I need to get a few things done. The father said, sure, no problem. But he was busy too. So he thought, how can I keep Annie busy and occupied? You know, so the dad began to flip through a magazine and he came across a large map of the world. An idea came to him. He said, Annie, come to daddy. Watch what I'm going to do. So the dad took a scissors and began to cut the world map into squares, small squares, mix them on the floor and said to Annie, I want you to do this. Put all these pieces back together. to make the map of the world. And when you are done, come and find me. The father thought, huh, good idea, right? This will gonna keep her busy for a long, long time. But just a few minutes later, and he came back and said, Daddy, I'm done. Woo! He thought, that could not be right. So fast. So he went to take a look. To his amazement, every single piece was at the exact right place. So he said to Annie, how do you know? How do you know where to put all these pieces together? Well, Annie said, you know, well, Daddy, while you're cutting the map, the other side of the map is a picture of a heart. So, and I thought that if I could put the heart back together, the world will come together too. Wow. Is that there's some truth to that, right? What Annie has just said, right? The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. And that is what lies at the center of everything. What's wrong in our world today? Our hearts. If we go back to the original script, the Bible gives a name to this heart condition. The word is sin. Because our sin, our hearts are sinful, our relationship become polluted. Our communities are fractured. Our society are broken. And the world bears the weight of this problem, sin problem. And the problem is not just out there. The problem is in here, in your heart, in the human heart. And all of this slowly disconnect us from God. That's why people often ask, where's God? Where is God? But the truth is that God didn't leave us. We left God. Are you listening? God didn't separate himself from us. It is us that separate ourselves from him. God never reject us. We rejected God. A story was told about a barber and a customer. A man walked into the barber shop to get a haircut. As the barber began to work on cutting his hair, they started to talk about many things. Life, work, and the world. Eventually, the conversation turned to God. The barber said, I don't believe the existence of God. There's no God. The customer asked, why do you say that? The barber replied, just look around you. Look at the suffering, the wars, the poverty, the problem, the sickness. If God really exists, do you think that there will be so much pain in this world? I simply cannot believe in a God who allowed all these things to happen. Well, the customer thought for a while, for a moment, but said nothing. The haircut finished. He paid and he walked out of the shop. As he stepped out of the shop, he noticed men on the street with long, dirty, dirty, long beard, untrimmed beard. This man looks neglected and unkempt. So the customer immediately turned around and walked back into the barber shop. And he said to the barber, bro, barber, you know what? Barbers do not exist. The barber was shocked. What are you talking about? What do you mean? I am here. I'm a barber. The customer replied, no, barber don't exist. If they did, there wouldn't be people walking around with long, dirty hair, messy beards like those men that I saw outside. The barber laughed and said, that's nonsense. Barbers do exist. The problem is that the people don't come in and sit on this chair to be trimmed, to be cut, to be made neat. The customer smiled and say, exactly. Exactly. That's the same with God. God do exist. The problem isn't his absence. It is that people do not come to him. They reject him. That is why there's so much pain, brokenness, and disorder in the world today. The barber felt silent. You see, the world's brokenness is not proof of God's non-existence, but evidence of human freedom and refusal. And just as hair does not groom itself, right? People, we cannot fix sin, brokenness, or moral disorder by ourselves. Transformation requires coming willingly to the one who can restore us. And here's the thing about the problem, sin. Sin works like an overdraft in a bank account. If you have overdrawn, I've overdrawn, can you help me? You can't help me. I can't help you. We all can't help each other, right? We have overdrawn. And we are both in debt. The only one who can help is someone who is in credit. Someone who is in credit. And who? Jesus Christ was the one, only one in credit. That's why Jesus came into the world to deal with your overdraft and my overdraft. Amen? If our greatest need were information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need were money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need were pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need is forgiveness. That's why God sent us a Savior. Jesus Christ came into the world to rescue us from the dilemma that we are in, which is disconnected from God, living with an overdraft that we can never be able to repay on our own. You see, the angel did not come to announce a solution to man. Listen to this. The angel came to announce that a Savior would be born. Peace didn't arrive as a solution or as a feeling. Peace arrived as a person. His name is Jesus. Amen? That's so amazing about the announcement that has already been foretold 700 years before it happened. Prophet Isaiah said this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, for the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." You see, church, our sin has separated us from God, and sin has made us enemy with God. Jesus came to reconcile us to God. Romans 5:1, we have peace with God because of what Jesus has done for us. Note this carefully. In this verse, peace with God does not come from what you do. It comes from what Jesus has done. Amen? That's why Christmas matters. That Jesus came to do for us, which we could never do it for ourselves. You see, the Bible say in Romans 5:10, while we were God's enemy, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. In many religions, people bring peace offering to God, but Christianity is different because God made the peace offering. He offered himself. Peace begins at the cross. Because Christmas peace was never about the absence of trouble. Jesus came to be the mediator. To be the mediator, the peacemaker between God and man. There can be no peace without a mediator, right? 1 Timothy 3:5, "And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility." Wrong verse. This, 1 Timothy 3:5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus." So the first and the greatest peace Christmas offers to us is this: peace with God. Earlier we heard about Brother Ben's testimony that he spent years chasing acceptance, confidence, and relief. But what was missing wasn't effort. What was missing was peace with God. The moment reconciliation happened, the hostility ended. That's why in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16 said this, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God to the cross, in which he put to death their hostility. That's not psychology. That is the gospel. That is the good news. Amen? Praise the Lord. And this is the first kind of peace. Peace with God. And then the second kind of peace is the peace of God. You know, this is a peace within us. The inner peace. And it's what happened inside us after we have been reconciled to God. And the Bible called this the peace of God. Let's go back to the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, verse 17 to 18. When they had seen him, what happened to the shepherd? They spread the word concerning what has been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Luke chapter 2, verse 17 to 18. You know, notice something important here. The shepherd didn't share because they were instructed to. The angel did not instruct the shepherds to share the gospel. They share because they were changed. You know, when they saw Jesus, they encounter him. Something deep within them that is real. Peace enter their hearts and they're overjoyed. And that is a natural outflow into a proclamation. They go forth, go everywhere. They begin to proclaim it because it's of great joy. Something happened in them. You know, their circumstances didn't improve. Their job didn't change. Their life didn't suddenly become easier. What they have received was not relief from problems, but assurance in the presence of Christ. And that's what happened when we are reconciled to God. When we are reconciled to God, something began to change in the inside of us. That is the peace of God. That's why Philippians chapter 4 verse 7 have to say this. And the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. You notice the word guard. God's peace guards us. You know, this peace is not the absence of trouble. No, no. It's not pretending that everything is fine. No. Jesus never promised a trouble-free life. This peace is a deep assurance that God is present. God is immanent. God is with us. God is sovereign. God is faithful, even in the storm. That's why you can have peace, the inner peace. John chapter 14 verse 27 say, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The world peace depends on circumstances improving. But Jesus' peace remains even when circumstances is not improving. This is the peace of God given by the Prince of Peace, to guard our hearts, to steady our minds, and to carry us through every season, every storm, every circumstances. Amen? Think about Brother Ben's testimony that you've heard earlier. For years, peace was what he's chasing after, through success, acceptance, alcohol, and distraction. But the moment Christ became present, peace didn't come because life became easier, but peace came because God became near to Brother Ben. That's the peace of God. That is the peace of God. Not the absence of problem, but the presence of God. You know, God offers a peace that meets us right here where we are. God has a peace to meet us in different circumstances, depending on the condition of our hearts. Can I share this with you? If you have a broken heart, Psalms 147:3 say that he heals the broken heart and binds up their wounds. God gives comforting peace. If you have a confused heart this morning, God gives guiding peace. That is from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. For if you have a ashamed heart, God give forgiving peace. 1 John 1:9, that He's faithful and just to forgive us. If you have a worried heart, God give confident peace. Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything. You could say this in this way, that God has a peace for every problem. Let me say that again. God has a peace for every problem. Whatever problem that you're facing, there is a corresponding peace promised in the scripture. You know, when you have peace with God, you'll receive the peace of God. Amen? And peace with God restores our relationship with Him. The peace of God guards our heart within us. And this is the peace Christmas offers us. Not a shallow feeling, not a temporary calm, but a deep abiding peace that rules our hearts. Because the Prince of Peace now lives among us. Amen? The third peace. So far we talk about peace with God and the peace of God within us. This is the third kind of peace, is peace with others. Where it is. The peace with others. The third peace. You know, here's a simple truth. You know, simple but profound truth. Listen to this. When we draw near to God, it doesn't just change our hearts. It also transforms our relationship. Amen? The opposite is also true. You know, when we drift from God, our relationship begins to break down. That's why scripture constantly shows that closeness with God leads to closeness with one another. Especially in our homes, our marriage, and our family. Jesus didn't just come to bring peace vertically between God and us. He also came to bring peace horizontally between people. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 7 say, when a person ways please the Lord, He makes even his enemy lives at peace with Him. Wow, isn't that wonderful? The presence of Christ in our life will shape how we love and how we forgive and how we walk with one another. Amen. And when Christ is at the center of our life, peace will begin to flow not only within us, but between us. This peace look like this. Choosing forgiveness instead of resentment. Humility instead of pride. Reconciliation instead of withdrawal. This morning, if you are hearing me, if you want to strengthen your marriage, get closer to God. Because when you are growing closer to God and your spouse is growing closer to God, you are naturally being drawn closer to each other. Amen? The more out of sync we are with God, the more out of sync we become with people. The further I drift from God, the more I get frustrated easily, defensive and harsh towards each other. You see, the cross didn't just reconcile us to God. It reconciles us to one another. It broke down hostility. It taught us how to embrace each other, how to love each other. You know, when the Prince of Peace rules our hearts, peace reshapes our relationship. Galatians chapter 3 verse 28 say that there's neither Jews nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor there male or and female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And when oneness grows, peace will follow. Amen. So this is a peace Christmas offer us. The three peace. Help me out. The first one is peace with. Amen. Second one is peace within ourselves. The third piece is peace with one another. My next question is, how can we experience this peace in our lives? Don't miss Christmas. Listen to this. Peace is in a person. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't miss Christmas. Because peace is in a person. Peace is not found in a method, not in a mindset, not in a moment. Peace is found in a person. That's why the angel did not announce a solution to life problems. They announced a savior. So the deepest reason we lack peace is not just stress. It's not just circumstances. It's not just problems. The deepest reason we lack peace is that we are disconnected from God, the one who have created one, the one who is our owner. And because of sin, humanity was separated from God. Peace began when we come to Jesus personally. Come to Jesus personally. That's when reconciliation happens. The hostility ends. And like any gift, peace must be received. Amen? It cannot be earned. It cannot be forced. That's why the shepherds say in Luke chapter 2, verse 16, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. You see, the shepherd took, they heard what they say and they went to desire to want to receive this gift. Church peace began when they went to Jesus and saw it with their own eyes for themselves. And Jesus still gave the same invitation to you and me today. Mark chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. See, God did not make himself visible in Jesus. Did make himself, my part. God made himself visible in Jesus. Yes, God became a man. And sometimes we leave him as a baby in Christmas. To understand the true significance of his birth, we must move from the cradle to the cross. From the cradle to the cross, because it's at the cross that Jesus Christ purchased forgiveness for us. As if he crushed a check, signed on his own blood and say, this clear your overdraft. Amen. You see, many people felt trapped by the past. We move on, but we carry our baggages. We carry our baggages, a broken relationship, and then they enter into a new one, but carry their old wounds. A bad job, they move on, but brings the same bitterness in them. We are constantly carrying baggages, but Jesus came to liberate us from the past, amen? To give us forgiveness. To give us a new life today. And give us a hope for the future. This is the gift of Christmas, my dear friends. The gift of Christmas is Christ. He is the gift. And when we put Christ back into Christmas, we cannot miss it. But you know, it is impossible to miss it. But many people miss the first Christmas. Many people miss the first Christmas. The religious leaders miss the first Christmas. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they missed it. And that should astonish us. Why? They knew the Bible. They memorized this book. The Old Testament, which contained over 300 prophecies about the coming of Jesus, about where the Messiah will be born, how he will live, how he will say, how he will die, and even to the detail of how many coins will be used to betray him. And yet, when Jesus was born, they didn't even bother to walk 5 kilometers to check it out. They had all the information, but no transformation. You see, you can be religious and still miss the truth. King Herod, king, missed Christmas. Why? Because he would humble himself to bow down to the king, but he wouldn't. Yes, Herod was a king, but Christ was the king. Amen? Herod wasn't about to bow to anyone. Why? Because sometimes pride and arrogance keep us from encountering the true King. Sometimes we don't want to admit that we are wrong. And when the truth is staring right in front of us, we don't humble ourselves. That's why King Herod missed Christmas. And there's also the innkeeper. He missed Christmas too. I mean, wouldn't it be an amazing picture to hang in the inn where some eatery hang the pictures of celebrity coming to their shop to eat? Imagine the picture of Mary, the mother of Jesus, Joseph, you know, Jesus' stepfather, Jesus, the Son of God. You know, I mean, wow. And here's a picture you frame and hang on the wall. But the innkeeper was too busy, too occupied with what? Business. One more rut on the ladder. And when people finally reaches the top of the ladder, they sometimes discover that the ladder they are leading against is the wrong building. Right? You see, many people are too caught up with the rat race in life. We are so busy that we miss the important thing. We are so busy caught up in the rat race. You know what's the problem with this rat race? The problem is this. Even if you win the race, you are still a rat. And because of that, many people are busy, very busy, driven, successful. They want to be successful in the world and are missing the most important truth of all. That's the danger. And I'm glad that you are here this morning to hear this message. Because we can get caught up in the wrapping and miss the gift. You know, at Christmas, we receive many gifts we don't really need. Sometimes we choke it aside. We keep it for next year. But God offer us a gift we cannot live without. Amen? And Christmas is an opportunity to receive Christ, to receive forgiveness, to receive peace. So let me ask you a very personal question this morning. If you are listening to this message this morning, where are you in the story? Where are you in the story? Some of you realize that you don't have peace with God. Maybe you have been familiar with Jesus, but you have never been reconciled to Him. You have never received forgiveness. Your spiritual overdraft has been growing. Today, Jesus wants to wipe it clean. Amen. If you resonate with Brother Ben's story, you have been chasing peace in all wrong places. Let me tell you something. The same Jesus who Brother Ben meet is here today. You don't need to clean yourself up. You don't need to fix everything right now. You just have to come to Him. So let me say, do not miss Christmas. Don't miss the gift. The gift is not under the tree. The gift was placed on the cross. And His name is Jesus. I'm going to invite the worship team to sing this song, He is My Peace. Just remain seated and allow this song to minister to you. I'm going to get the worship team to sing.
Is my peace who has broken down every wall. He is my peace. He is my peace. He is my peace. You have broken down every wall. He is my peace. He is my peace.
Cast your cares.
Hallelujah.
Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is my peace. He is my peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is my peace. He is my
peace. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14, for He Himself is our peace, who has broken down every wall. Every wall of fear, every wall of guilt, every wall of anxiety, division, and weariness. This morning, would you cast all your cares on Him? For He cares for you. You know, there's nothing you're carrying tonight is too small. Nothing is too heavy for Jesus. And if you're here today and your heart feels restless because you're carrying burden, worries, and pain behind a wall that you have built, if you long to experience the peace of Christ, not just know about it, but to receive it this morning, Jesus is inviting you. This peace is not dependent on circumstances. It flows from His presence and is available for you this morning. So as the music play, I want to invite you. This morning, Jesus is not asking you to fix yourself. He's not asking you to clean yourself up first. He simply said, come. If this is you, I want you to receive Christ, to renew your faith, or to release your fear, or to surrender your burdens to Him. I want to invite you to respond. In your heart, you may be asking, Andy, how do I receive the Lord Jesus into my heart, into my life? Let me tell you, I can't do this for you, because this is between you and God. But I can help you to take the step. In a moment, I want to invite every one of you to bow your head and to close your eyes. Let there be no distraction. No one is watching. Just a quiet moment for you with God. And I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer, especially for those who have never prayed this prayer before. I'm going to pray a prayer to invite Jesus to come into your life, to forgive your sins, and to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. If that's you, I want you to pray out loud, line by line, after me. Don't just say the word, but mean it from your heart. Because the Bible says that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, then when you come to Jesus sincerely, He forgives, He saves, and He will make you new. I know some of you have questions in your heart. Some of you might say that I'm not good enough, Andy. I have too many weaknesses. My life is messy. Let me fix myself first, then I come to God. But let me tell you this morning, you know, you could fix yourself. If you could fix yourself completely, you wouldn't need a Savior. Jesus doesn't wait for you to clean up first. He come to change you from the inside out. My friend, when do you see a doctor? It's not when you're well, but when you are not well. Jesus is a great physician. He came for His people like you and me who need help. Some of you, the others might say that my family members aren't Christian yet. They may object. I understand that. you know, I'm also the first one in my family to become a Christian. The scripture tells us, give us his promise that believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. That doesn't mean that they become Christian automatically, but that does mean your faith will become a doorway for your family to receive this blessing, Christ. You know, God can begin to work in your home in a way you will never imagine. So don't just let fear hold you back. This morning, take this step of faith and trust God with your family. Lastly, some of you said, my heart is touched, but I need to think more about it, maybe later. Friends, the Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. It also says that today is the day of salvation. So if God is speaking to you this morning, don't push it away. Respond while your heart is open. So right now, I want to invite all of you to bow your head, close your eyes. Everyone, even if you're new, let's do this together. No one looking around, especially those, except those who are on duty. You know, in a moment, I'm going to lead whoever never accept Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior to come to him to pray this prayer. Just pray together with me, line by line. Repeat after me. If you do so, do it sincerely in your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sin on the cross. And thank you that on the third day, Jesus rose again. Dear Jesus, today I open my heart to you. Please forgive all my sins. Come into my life right now and be the Lord of my life. Help me to follow you and to obey you all the days of my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for being my Lord and Savior. I want everyone to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. No one looking except those who are on duty. Some of you have just prayed the prayer for the first time. If that's you, let me say this clearly. Brother, sister, congratulations. You see, the Bible tells us that your sins are forgiven and you are now a child of God. In a moment, I want to pray a special prayer of blessing for you. So every head bow and every eyes closed, if this is the first time you make this prayer, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. You raise up your hand high up if you have invited Jesus into your life. I want you to, no need to lift your head up. Just lift our hands and keep it up there. By lifting your hands, you're simply saying, Andy, I prayed that prayer. I invited Jesus into my life and I would like you to pray for me. I'm going to count to three. If this is the first time you make this prayer, just raise up your hand and keep your hand up there. One, two, three. Just raise up your hand. Thank you. I see the hands. Thank you. You can put your hands now. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Let's pray a prayer of decoration. For those who put up their hand, on the basis of your faith in inviting Jesus Christ into your life, I declare that your sins are forgiven and that you are a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a round of applause. Can I invite all of you to stand? It's not end here, but I want to invite those who put up their hands to just come forward. We're going to pray for you. Some of you may have needs. Some of you are still struggling. Or some of you have not made a decision. I want to invite you to come forward. And I want to get to pray for you this morning. As we sing this song one more time, I want to invite those who put up their hand for the first time to just come forward. We want to pray for you. And also those who have a need to want to pray for, You can come on my left. Shall we? Let's sing the song together. Because you have received the peace of God. Amen.
Yes, my peace. You has broken down.
Those friends who have put out a hand, you can come forward. Together with your friend who invited you. Come, just come forward. Let me share.
He
thank you.
Is my
I believe there are some who have needs, who need to be prayed for. You can come forward on my left.
He is my peace, who has broken down every wall. He is my peace. He is my peace.
Cast all your cares upon him.
Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He is my peace. He is my peace. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He
Amen.
Is my peace.
Hallelujah.
He is my peace.
I believe there are some needed to be prayed for. You can come forward. Those who have responded by putting up your hand, invite you to just come forward. I want to pray for you. Let me close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, born into our broken world. Today we stand in awe that you did not leave us in darkness. You step into our world to bring us peace. Lord, this morning you see every heart that has a response to your call. Those who have put up their hands and those who have whispered a quiet yes to you in their hearts. We ask now that your peace will settle deeply within them. Not as the world gives, but the peace that comes from being reconciled to you. Jesus, you are our peace. Where there is fear, you bring assurance. When there has been guilt, you bring forgiveness. When there has been restlessness, you bring rest. When there has been division, you bring healing and unity. So as we leave this place, may the peace announced by the angel on the holy night guard our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus. Let us carry this peace wherever we go, in our homes, in our workplace, in our school, in our communities, so that through us, others may encounter the love of Emmanuel, God with us. We surrender our lives anew to you. We thank you that because of Jesus, we can walk in peace today with one another and forever. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.